Welcome to Obesity, a Disease, the official Obesity Medicine Association podcast exploring the many facets of the disease of obesity. In this series of podcasts, we have carefully selected recent articles included in the latest version of the OMA Obesity Algorithm, which is a comprehensive review of obesity medicine that can be found at obesitymedicine.org. We then discuss this new science with obesity experts. In this episode, OMA Chief Science Officer Dr. Harold Bays interviews Dr. Angela Fitch about a recent article discussing effectiveness of workplace wellness programs. Obesity, a Disease podcast is brought to you by the Obesity Medicine Association, the clinical leader in obesity medicine.
Welcome. My name is Dr. Harold Bays, Medical Director and President of the Louisville Metabolic and Atherosclerosis Research Center, located in Louisville, Kentucky. I'm also Chief Science Officer for the Obesity Medicine Association. Today, we're going to be talking about an article that was included in the latest version of the Obesity Medicine Association Obesity Algorithm. And what we do is we periodically pick articles that we think are of interest, and then we put them on these podcasts. And with us to discuss an article today is Dr. Angela Fitch. Angela, why don't you tell the people who you are and what you do?
Hello, Harold, and thank you so much for having me today. And I am Dr. Angela Fitch, as Harold said, and I am the Associate Director of the Massachusetts General Hospital Weight Center in Boston. And I am on faculty at Harvard Medical School. And I am currently the Vice President of the Obesity Medicine Association, and I am very excited to be here.
Well, you should be, because, I mean, the article you picked, I have some thoughts about this we might go into. People may not know this, but it was like 30 years ago, and one of the reasons I got the position that I did is people heard that I was interested in preventive health and wellness and all that kind of stuff. That was going to be the rage, and then it kind of wasn't the rage. So maybe we can talk about that. So the name of the article is Effect of a Workplace Wellness Program on Employee Health and Economic Outcomes, a Randomized Clinical Trial. So we're going to see if there's evidence base to support these wellness programs. And this was published by the first author, Song, S-O-N-G. This was in JAMA 2019. And what they did a clustered randomized trial, and it was conducted from 2015 to 2016. And they looked at these administrative claims and employment data. And they had the control group that had no wellness program, but then they had the other group, the active group, which had this a program comprising 8 modules on nutrition and physical activity and stress reduction and related topics and such. And so then they analyzed it, and what they found is that, yes, a workplace wellness program resulted in significantly greater rates of positive self-reported health behaviors. Okay, that's true. But then when they looked at things like healthcare costs and healthcare utilization and healthcare spending and everything, after 18 months, didn't really see a lot of difference. And so the conclusion was, although it was limited by incomplete data on some outcomes, these findings may temper expectations about the financial return on investment that wellness programs can deliver in the short term. Angela, what do you make of this?
Yeah, Harold, so I chose this article because, like you had mentioned, wellness has always been a fascinating part of my my holistic approach to obesity treatment, right? I mean, I've really come at it. I've always had an interest in even workplace wellness, and I was in the workplace for a while before I went back to medical school, and it always just fascinated me, these little things they'd put on top of the table, you know, like little things they were going to do, you know, for this month, you know, of wellness. And I've just always been fascinated by it. And so I picked this because it's been kind of a hot topic lately, I feel like in the literature, around the fact that companies across the United States have been devoting, you know, significant resources, economic resources and people resources, right, to these types of programming and what, you know, what yield is it giving us, right? Like, what is its return on investment?
And wasn't that the pitch? And I mean, I guess that's the way I meant it. Wasn't that the pitch for the past several decades? It wasn't so much, are people going to feel better? They're going to work better, whatever. The pitch was, if you have a wellness center, people are going to be healthier, and you will actually get a greater return on your investment from reduced healthcare costs by having a wellness program. Am I right?
Right. That was always the, you know, and I think too, I think employers generally also have an interest, you know, in their employees. I mean, I would hope at least they do, you know, like in their employees feeling better too, and having, you know, you have to measure those other things that aren't just measurable by health outcomes. I mean, productivity and you know, how, if you sleep better, you perform better at work potentially, you know, so there's a lot of other subtle things. And certainly this study did show that there was some advantages, especially in engaging in regular exercise, which we know is good for us for a multitude of reasons, mental health, physical health, you know, well-being. And interestingly, they, you know, scored higher on actively managing their weight, at least, or being sort of aware of, you know, their weight and their weight struggles, which I think that's got good implications, especially as it relates to how we, you know, we help get people treatment.
Well, and before we come to any definitive conclusions based upon this one article, I mean, what is your sense about the strengths and weaknesses of this particular article?
Well, I think that, you know, one of the big strengths of it is it was big, right? I mean, there was a lot of different sites, and they were a lot of different, lots of employees. I think that's one of its strengths for sure. And it was, it was pretty, you know, equally divided in men and women, which is good too, because sometimes, you know, the workplaces can be not so equally distributed, right? So that was good. They had both, sort of looking at both sexes there. And so I think, you know, it had some of those strengths. I think, as you mentioned, you know, the weaknesses in sort of the study itself is just that they had some of the incomplete data, some of the outcome, you know, it's hard to measure some of these outcomes distinctly, right? Especially if you're not looking at things like hard discrete data, you know. And so I think it is a little bit challenging from a self-reported standpoint, you know, to get some of that behavioral data.
Well, then, okay, so I think we can both agree that, you know, here we had a control group, which many times they don't have. And then it was a control
group. Yeah,
random. Right. It was randomized. It was controlled. Everything that you'd want. And yet it did not show and I'm saying this specifically, it did not show a financial benefit. Well, why do you think, I mean, as far, at least with regard to specifically with healthcare costs, why is it your sense that there wasn't that return on the investment that's been promised for so many decades?
Well, so this is my personal opinion, but I think one of the biggest challenges we have today in America is that there's so many of these types of programs that are separated from the person's healthcare. And meaning there's a disconnect between what people are doing in whether they're workplace wellness or whether they're self-engaged programming. And they're not sort of collaborating that, as we look at, especially around things like BMI, for example, that was looked at in this study, which it didn't show a difference there, was because it takes more than this sort of lifestyle intervention for many people, right? We know that from our obesity literature. It takes more than these sort of lifestyle programs to deliver outcomes, especially as it's related to obesity treatment. But many patients need combination treatment.
Yeah, but isn't it also true? It's not just what they receive, but it's how long they receive it. Look, I do a lot of outcomes, cardiovascular outcomes trials, and I got to tell you, if it's less than 2 years, even with the most effective therapies we have out there, sometimes it's hard to show a benefit. And even though 18 months sounds like a lot, when you're talking about cardiovascular disease or cancer or some of these other things, I mean, don't you believe that you have to wait a bit longer than a year and a half in order to get a return on your investment? Don't you think?
Yes, exactly. And again, I think to get a return on even just, you know, weight loss too, right? I mean, I think, you know, we have to have sort of another level of intervention. And this was great too. We forgot to mention this was registered dietitians too, you know? Yeah. So, I mean, it was nice that they had, licensed people, right? That were even delivering the treatment. So But yes, I agree wholeheartedly. You know, with our chronic disease, these chronic diseases that we're treating today, it takes much longer to see that return. And that's the challenge, right? I think with with payers and with employers, is that a lot of times I think today, and who knows what the new world will bring as things move forward, but you know, employers aren't as, they don't tend to be, you know, sometimes employees change jobs a lot today. And so to have a ownership of that person in the long term, you know, like back in the day, people used to work for companies for 20 years. So there was a sort of reason to sort of stick things out, right, into that 2, 3, 5, 10 year, you know, plan of wellness. And today I think employers struggle with that a little bit.
Well, I think you're right. And for what it's worth, I've been with my research site for like 30 years, and we got a gym in the basement. So, all right. Well, Dr. Fitch, thank you so much. I think this brings a great point. I mean, I do want to emphasize what the article says, is that even though maybe financially there wasn't a return, there was a workplace wellness, that the workplace wellness program did result in greater rates of some positive self-reported health behaviors. You know, I think that's a good thing. So again, thank you. And thank you, the listener, for listening to the Obesity Medicine Association podcast, Obesity, a Disease.
Thank you, Dr. Bays and Fitch. For more information about Obesity Medicine podcasts and other resources from the clinical leader in obesity medicine, please visit obesitymedicine.org/podcasts. Love this episode of Obesity, a Disease? Head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. The views expressed in this podcast episode are those of the show host and do not necessarily represent the opinions, beliefs, or policies of the Obesity Medicine Association or its members. Please check back soon for another episode of Obesity, a Disease.